to the book of John, John chapter 15. I'm going to go right into this next message here on the blessed life. This series we've been teaching for the past couple of weeks. It'll be the last message on this. There'll be two more Sundays before we go into the Christmas season after this luncheon takes place, the 22nd. So please again try to be here for that. And we're doing a series here about Christmas. That's actually very, very in line with what that season really means to us. But today, this morning, I want to speak about a thing called your roots determine your fruit. Your roots determine your fruit, because we're talking about how God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The Bible is very clear about that. But many believers, again, are seeing sometimes adverse circumstances happening around them that tries to convince them by the enemy's help as well that the one that lives in us has not really blessed our life in so many ways as we might actually think. We've got to realize the kingdom of God that lives inside of us does not always work the way that we think it should. And so sometimes there's adversities going on around us, but there's actually great miracles taking place within us. And God is actually sometimes even lining things up through the adversities that brings us to a place of promotion, a place of increase, and a place of even greater blessing in our lives. We talked about how, again, from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, how Jesus Christ gives us, blessed are those who are pure in heart, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. And those things, again, are not the blessing part of that. The blessing part is, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God, for they shall see God, for they shall obtain mercy, for they shall obtain also the kingdom of heaven. So he says, blessings will always come to those who actually take and sometimes let the kingdom of God work inside of them like leaven works into bread. Now, how many folks realize that leaven by itself is a very, very bitter thing to eat? God normally begins by doing some bitter things inside of us that is very, very not palatable to our own mouth, our own taste, but he somehow turns that bitterness into a sweetness when it actually works in our stomach and works inside of our lives. We can also look at the life of Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, a prime example of this. There's no doubt the kingdom of God came upon her and brought impregnated her with the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, who was called the Messiah. Now, the bitter thing about that was because she became pregnant, the Bible says her own betrothed, engaged to be married husband-to-be, wanted to actually put her away quietly and totally break off the engagement and break off the relationship. Not a very pleasant thing to be going through from her. She also faced ridicule by all her neighbors around her. I'm sure many of them said, oh yeah, sure, an angel came to you, and oh yeah, the Holy Spirit came on you and got you pregnant. Yeah, tell me some more lines and more stories about that. So God will do some things somehow, it seems like, to begin with, that may seem bitter on the outside or inside of our mouth, but we all know the end of the story is that Mary was proved right, because that young baby showed himself to be the Son of God, the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior. He turned what was bitter to begin with into something that was sweet, who rose from the dead, became our Lord, our God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we call upon today. Amen? So in your life as well, you're going to find that God's really put blessings in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes you go through a bitter time, perhaps for a season, but God will take that bitterness and turn it into something sweet if you let him do that in your life, as only God can do. Our blessings have to do also with a thing that's called roots, because roots are actually in our hearts. God wants the roots inside of us to be good roots that bear forth good fruits. God wants those things of bitterness, those things of disappointments, those things of abuse, those bad roots in the past. God wants those roots removed from us that God may reveal and show to us there are good plantings of the Lord that God wants to place in our lives by the goodness, by the power of his own Spirit, by the power of his own word as well. Amen. All of us also can think about this morning some areas of our lives perhaps where there's good fruit happening. And those good fruit things are good roots in us that God's placed in there. And God is breathing on those roots. God's watering those roots. God's causing light to be shed upon those roots. And from those good roots is coming good fruits in your life. It may be your children. It might be your good example of work ethic. It might be some good habits you've instilled in your life and lives of folks around you. It might be the place you work at. You might see success take place in many parts of your life by your own hobbies, your talents, and abilities. Those are all because of good roots placed in your life, sometimes years and years ago. But also, we all have some things in our lives that's not quite so fruitful. We might want to see some of those things actually touched on and some of those roots be removed from us. We need to ask ourselves sometimes, Where do these things take place in my life where I find myself going from job to job, relationship to relationship? I find myself sinking back into depression time and time again. I find myself being tempted by lustful thoughts or lustful actions. I find myself leaning back into griping, complaining, or having anger grip my mind or grip my life. Those are all from some roots inside of our hearts that God calls bad roots. But the good news is God's a master at removing bad roots from us and putting good roots in their place. Amen? Or causing good roots that are already there to be breathed on, get stronger, and bring forth good fruit out of your life. So let's look now at John chapter 15. This whole chapter here is about the vine, the branches, and about the roots as well. And Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Now all of us want to glorify God. Amen? Well, God says in his word, "I am glorified when you guys are bearing fruit and fruit that remains." And God wants fruit. God wants lasting fruit. And God says, those who have good roots in them shall produce good fruit. So, the question this morning is, what's the root cause of blessings in our lives? And what's the root cause of some things that are not being quite so fruitful in our lives? I'm praying this morning God helps us discern some things inside of our lives by his own word, by his own spirit, that he might want to touch on, and he might want to remove some things from us, that he might want to bring in some other plantings and cultivate and dig around some good roots to bring forth a better thing and better fruits and results in our lives as well. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 and 18 on the screen here as well. Matthew 7, 17 and 18. It says, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree," notice this, "also bears fruit, but it bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree actually bear good fruit." This helps me to realize and to identify and remove all the bad roots out of my life and try to nourish the good fruits that I might find myself more and more fruitful in my life. And the key thing here again, it says a good tree cannot bring forth good, bad fruit. It only brings forth good fruit. I want to be a tree with good roots that brings forth good fruits, because God's ordained all of us have blessings, and blessings actually talks about increase. It talks about expansion. It talks about doing things that actually influences people's lives for the good, that brings forth lasting results upon the earth. Let's go on to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. It says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit." I told the folks here, I think on a Wednesday night teaching a few weeks ago, if you have a boyfriend who is slapping you, calling you names, belittling you, doing bad things, neglecting you, not bringing you flowers, not saying I love you, not saying kind words to you, and then sometimes he says, "I love you and I care about you," well, the truth is he does not really love you that much, because the fruit of his relationship and the fruit of his life does not bear out sometimes what his word speaks out in a kind of a totally different, opposite type realm. Amen? So God says you know them by their fruit, not their words, not even just their actions only. You know them by the fruit of what's happening in their lives and by their lives. So please write some things down in your bulletins today, your notes, your iPads. Well, last week we had to go ahead and bind all the texting of spirits that were here, but the youth are now upstairs, so they can deal with that themselves. Adults don't do that. Amen? We're not going to be texting. We're going to be taking and doing things to use our iPads and iPhones to find scriptures. And we're going to find this is going to be a service, a message today, very rich in the Word of God, very rich in some verses. There's going to be a blessing to our lives. And I praise God that God gave us the Bible. I love the Bible. The Word of God is alive and active, and it brings forth lasting results in our lives. Amen? So, Father, let your word go forth this day in this message in Jesus' name. Here are some things about roots. Number one, first thing about roots is Jesus Christ is the root. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the vine. But we all know that a vine is actually an extension of the root under the ground. If you dig out the vine's roots, the roots look like the vine, because the vine comes from the root. John chapter 15, verse 5, it says this. I am the vine, I am the roots, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in him bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We can see from Isaiah that Jesus Christ is the roots. Okay, so let's look at a few verses here from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 says this. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Actually, this word should be not rod, but a root. I've got the wrong typing on this thing. There shall come forth a root from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. He's a rod, he's a root, and he comes from the very branch of Jesse. Jesus Christ is called a root. Then move on to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. It calls him also the root of Jesse. Isaiah 53, verse 2 says, he shall grow up as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground shall be Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, it says, the Lion of Judah and the root of David opens up the scroll. So throughout the entire Old Testament, New Testament, we see Jesus Christ is called the root. And so he's the root, we are the branch, and God works through us by the power of his Spirit. Okay, so back to John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Amen? Not something, not little things, not a few things. You cannot do anything without me is what Jesus Christ himself says right here. And one of my better subjects as I was growing up in middle school and high school and university was actually English. I did pretty well in English. I understood English. I liked English because English takes words and breaks words down to their basic meanings and gives you the definition of what words actually mean. And so we have a word, for example, like the word, discourage. Discourage means courage, that's the root word for that, that has a dis in front of that. Now the word dis means to take away. So being discouraged means my courage has been taken away from me. That's why God says don't discourage your children. When you discourage your children, it means you take the courage from them and actually introduce fear into their lives. Amen? There's also words like discover. The word discover means there's a cover on something, and now that cover has been removed, and now we discover America. America's been covered by in years gone by. Here comes Columbus. Here comes all the Nina, the Pinta, the Anna Maria, whatever, Santa Maria. And they all come there and find the rock there, Plymouth Rock. They find the place called the Eastern Coast. And all of a sudden, what was covered is now discovered. Okay? There's also words out there like dissatisfied. We find ourselves being satisfied on an ongoing basis by a restaurant, by a meal, by a food, by a city, by whatever. But all of a sudden, something takes place that removes the satisfaction from us, and now we're dissatisfied. We have disinfectant. What was infecting us no longer infects us. It's been taken from us. It's called disinfectant, and the word discouragement also means that courage has been taken from us. I want to say on a side note here again, I mentioned months and months ago, all of us can overcome and not be destroyed by failure. But what destroys us is discouragement. Satan wants to try and discourage you, take courage from you. That's why God told Joshua, be strong and be courageous. Do not tremble nor be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you. Amen? And this whole message here today and this whole series about blessings is trying to convince every one of us God really is with us. And I want to say again today, during the election year coming up, God is with America. Amen? Because the Bible says the earth, the whole earth, is the Lord's. Not the devil, not Satan, not the Antichrist, and not Muslims. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And every place we put our foot, the Bible says, has been given to us in Jesus' name. I want to say, as I was talking last night to Curtis Baker, I sent you guys all letters this week that you got some pictures from our past trip to Myanmar and Zambia, Africa. We have time to look at those pictures and some readings and some words on that as well. I'm so excited to hear that in January coming up, we're going to have a team go to Myanmar again. I'll be going there myself. And he says there's actually more and more groups opening up to us now in rural areas that have never had a foreigner come to them ever before to teach them anything about basic church principles, Bible principles, leadership principles, and faith principles, and prayer principles, and so forth. And so they're just like these sponges waiting to have groups come to them and hear the basic word of God. All they're getting right now, he said, is yell and scream and shout and be emotional and know the God who meets needs, not the God who makes disciples of nations. Amen? So be praying for us even in advance right now. We're seeing some good open doors happening for us in Myanmar in a couple of months. And we're going to see again that God goes before us because God's blessed us, that God may help us be a blessing to people even around the world in Jesus' name. But in your life right now today, I want to say again, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and there's no nation on the earth that belongs to Satan. They all belong to God. Amen? We must possess this land, take it for the Lord. Let's look now at Jesus Christ's words. We tore down discouragement. He says here, without me, you can do nothing. Philippians says, through Christ, you can do all things. Without Christ, this says, you can do no thing. No thing. So we all know that Donald Trump and other folks in the world out there actually accomplished a lot of things. So did Steve Jobs and so forth and so on. So what's he mean by this? What he means by this is you cannot accomplish eternal value things in yourself. Amen? You might get some money, some land, some houses, some respect, some offices, some titles, some education, but you cannot do the things that actually will shake the kingdom of God and bring eternal value upon the earth without the power of God working through you or his blessings operating in your life. Without me, you can do no thing that brings lasting fruit upon the face of the earth. I want to be a blessing not just to my generation, but the next generation and generation after that as well. Amen? Leave a living legacy for our grandchildren, our children, and those around us in Jesus' name. So, Jesus says, he is the root, he is the vine. The word vine actually means, in the Greek language here, kind of tear this down, it means a fruit-producing vine as opposed to a wild jungle vine. You know the difference. You know, Cheryl and I went out to a place called the Yucatan Peninsula several years back with Bob Mason. We were chopping down tropical forest vegetation for the clearing of land for a medical Christian hospital in Yucatan Peninsula. In doing that, there were vines all around us that were very thick and very obnoxious, wrapping around our legs, tripping us up, very hard to walk through, and those were, again, not desirable in that area. There was no fruit on them. No fruit came from them. They were simply wild jungle vines, not good for much. Jesus says, I am the vine that brings forth fruit. I am a beneficial vine. I am a good vine. I am a vine of life, not of being an obstacle in your path in Christ's power and realm. So, number two, second thing about roots is, number two is, we are the branches. You and I are branches. John chapter 15, verse 4 says this, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And I pray to God that at this place called the Tree of Life Church, our roots go down deeply, and we realize that by abiding in Christ, by letting his presence dwell in us, his presence manifests through us. Wasn't today a precious day for praise and worship? Couldn't you sense God's presence here among us in this place? And God is still here among us right now today. And that's called abiding in God, letting God soak up around us, soak in us, be working inside of us like leaven in bread. He says those who do that, they will start bearing fruit automatically by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are called the branches. What kind of fruit is he talking about in this verse? I'm glad you asked. Look now at Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. What kind of fruit does God want us to have? God's not called you to be a fruit. He's called you to bear fruit. Amen? We're not fruitcakes in Jesus' name. We're not tutti frutti in Jesus' name. We are bearing fruit in Jesus' name. Amen? What kind of fruit does God want? Galatians 5, 22, 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit. God wants His kingdom, His Spirit in us to start bearing kingdom fruit out of us. Okay? So, the fruit is things like this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It goes on and says, which there is no law for these kinds of things in your life. God says these will be the automatic produce and fruits out of those who abide in Jesus Christ. Notice He also says here, you cannot bear fruit by yourself. Now, it does not say here you can't produce fruit. It says you cannot bear fruit. What's the difference? Some folks are real good at faking it till they make it. They can fake goodness for a while. They can fake love for a while. They can fake kindness for a season on Sunday mornings or whatever else, or parking lots. But can they bear fruit that actually lasts on the vine until it is ripe, ready to pick and be eaten by people around them for benefit? Jesus said, I want folks to bear fruit for two reasons. The first reason is I want folks to see the fruit of My Spirit in your life. Number two, I want folks to eat of the fruit also in your life. God says, I'm going to give you as a branch the strength to be kind and be full of goodness and full of love. Even when bad circumstances take place, you'll bear the fruit I place on the branches of your life. Amen? How many folks realize you cannot do that in your flesh and by your power? You need the Spirit of God to work in you to bear that kind of fruit in your life. Amen? We need God's strength, God's power, God's help, and God's grace to do that. And the good news is, God strengthens us as branches. So that no matter what kind of adverse thing takes place around us, we still can love people, be kind to folks, and be good to people around us in the power of the Spirit, not in the strength of our flesh. Because our flesh will not bear the fruit on a long-going basis. Okay? Do you see that? The key word here also is the word abide. Write that word down in your notes. Write down the word abide. Those who take and abide in Me, I in them, they will bear much fruits. Abide. The word abide in the Greek language actually means to stay in one place for a long time. You know, we meet here on Sunday mornings. Praise God for all you guys. We're here for 2 solid hours. You be amazed, in America's culture today, there's very, very few churches having two-hour services because folks can't imagine being in a place like this that long. Well, you know that in many parts of the world, they go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, sometimes 12 hours or more, because God is working so mightily among them, they don't want to get up and leave what God's doing in their midst. Amen? So I pray in this place here, God gives you grace to actually enjoy and soak up the presence of Almighty God. The 2 hours you have together, it goes by, boom, it's gone fast, amen? And then God would use this 2 hours to energize us, equip us, put faith in us, the Word of God in us, and put a fresh hunger and thirst also inside of our lives to actually seek for more beyond this place, amen? That's what God wants out of our lives. Abide means to stay in one place, one marriage, one business, one house, one place for a long time. But it also has a connotation. It means to stay through a struggle. Abide means to stay even during a struggle. Hey, folks, realize that in this life, there's going to be struggles we're going to go through. At your job, in your marriage, with your children, a local church like this, any local church, there's going to be a struggle in due season. We live in a fallen world. But God says, I give you the grace to get through the struggle. And the good news is when the storms pass by, the oranges are still hanging on the tree. And they're getting ripe, and they're getting bigger, and they're getting sweeter, and they're getting all kinds of good things inside their lives to bless other people in their lives in Jesus' name. The California wine growers, grape growers of the Napa Valley, they say the sweetest and best grapes are those who go through the biggest struggles in nature the year before. The biggest freezes, the biggest storms, the biggest droughts bring forth the sweetest grapes for the wine we make. They're the most desirable grapes, those who go through the biggest struggles. And Christians are the same way. These precious veterans that are here, those who go through the most struggles in life, put out the most sweet fragrance and sweet fruit out of their lives. Amen? So I don't pray to God for struggles. I don't want bitter things in my life. I don't like bitter things in my mouth. But God will take those bitter things of struggles in our life and somehow turn that into the sweet and bring forth a better fruit out of your life on the other side. Amen? I praise God again for folks like T.D. Jakes, like Joyce Meyer, like John Hagee. These guys have one thing all in common. They've gone through major struggles in their past. And God took those struggles and God worked in them kindness, meekness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And they're still benefiting the results from that today as they minister God's word across the earth. I don't speak about bakers and lawyers and all kind of accountants and folks involved in programming computers. The same thing is true of them as well. Struggles bring forth sweetness as only God can bring it forth. Okay, so next thing here, number three, would you write this down if you would please? The Father is the vine dresser. One of the reasons I've invited Rick Smith, pastor in Iowa, to join us in Myanmar in a few months also to come back again. Rick Smith, I told you guys we were here several months back when that trip took place last year. He actually missed his airplane in Chicago where I was at to catch a plane to go to, we flew from Chicago to Singapore, or to Bangkok. He missed the flight by 5 minutes. As he got to the door of the airplane, they said, "We will not open the door for you. The door has been shut. The manifest has been done. You're going to have to miss your flight and go out and fly out tomorrow and spend the night in the airport in Chicago." That guy went through delay after delay after delay, and he finally reaches us over in Bangkok, Thailand, and they lost his suitcase. He went through all these delays, no sleep, in airports for 2 nights in Bangkok and Chicago. He actually met us, in Yangon, Myanmar, and they said, "I'm sorry, we've lost your suitcase." We got on an airplane 30 minutes later and went and flew to a place called Kalimul with no suitcase in his hand. He wore the same clothes for 3 days. But yet, in this whole time he's going through all this, that young man did not gripe one time or let one false negative word come out of his mouth for the most part. Amen? And I'm saying, if a guy can go through all things like that, by jet lag, by delays, by a shut door in his face in Chicago and losing his suitcase and not get mad and gripe and complain, that's a good guy to have on a team for overseas work. Amen? And so I'm saying we need people like that more and more in the body of Christ who bear fruit right in the midst of struggles in their lives. Number three is this: the Father is the vine dresser. Jesus Christ is the root. We are the branches, but God is the vine dresser. John 15:1 says this: "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser." The vine dresser is the owner of the vineyard. The Old Testament is, again, the New Testament concealed. You cannot find anything in the New Testament that you won't find somehow concealed in the Old Testament. You got to realize that. For example here, the parable of the sower is found in Luke chapter 8. Luke 8 says there's four kinds of soil. One is good and three are bad. Now, three kinds of soil produce three kinds of fruit. One kind of soil produces withering vegetation. One actually produces also, again, choking out by weeds. One also produces there a thing that's called the tramplings of men upon the path, the rocks, the path, and the weeds, okay? So there's withering, and there's choking out, and there's being trampled on in Luke chapter 8. Let's read now Isaiah chapter 5. Let's read starting in verse 1 here about this thing where God is called the vine dresser who has a vineyard. Let's read this, Isaiah 5, verse 1 through verse 7. "Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding the vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up. He cleared its stones. He planted it with choice vines. He built a tower in its midst, and he also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth, notice this, wild grapes, wild vine, bad grapes, bad fruits. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done for it? Why then, when I expected to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth, notice this, wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away, notice this, its hedge. How many folks saw in the Bible where the Bible says Satan comes before God's throne in the book of Job and says, I cannot touch him. You have placed a hedge around him. God put a hedge around you, around your family, around this church by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. It's called the shield of faith. Amen? But the hedge can be broken into, and that's why the Bible says give no place to the enemy. That means put no gaps in the hedge God's placed around your life. The book of Ezekiel says this, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, but I could not find one. The Bible also says the shield of faith quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. So he says, the first thing I did there, I took the hedge from them, which allows the devil to come in to kill and steal and destroy. Then it goes on and says, and it shall be burned and break down its wall, and it shall be, notice this, trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns and weeds to choke it out. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it, and it withers and dies. Can you see the parable of Luke chapter 8 right here in Isaiah chapter 5? Verse 7, I'm going to cause it to wither, get trampled on, have the hedge gone from that, and I'm going to also make sure there comes forth the sunlight, there comes forth no moisture, and there comes forth the choking out of the weeds, like weeds upon this place. The parable that Jesus told in Luke 8 is found back in Isaiah chapter 5. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed in the Old Testament. Realize that. So don't throw your Bible away before the book of Matthew. It's still good stuff. Amen? There's good things in there. Moving on. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plantings. Now, where's this found also? New Testament. I'm glad you asked. Let's read now some more verses. Let's move on. We love the Bible. Amen? The Word of God is alive and active. It's going to bring forth life to us today. Where's this found? New Testament. Matthew chapter 21. Let's read this, verse 33. Hear another parable, Jesus says. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it. He dug a wine press in it and he built a tower. He leased it to wine dressers and then went into, or vine dressers, sorry, and went into a far country. Now, when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants. He beat one. He killed one. They stoned another one. And again, he also sent other servants more than the first, and they also did likewise to them. Now, what's Christ talking about here? He's talking about how the Jewish people had prophets of God sent to them over the centuries, and they beat them, they stoned them, and they killed them. They even chopped off the head of John the Baptist. But then it goes on here and talks more about himself now. Then last of all, he sent his own son to them. And he said, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. Satan thought when they killed Jesus Christ, they took all of the people of the earth and said, we've now won the biggest battle. We have killed the Son of God. But Jesus Christ himself said, you go ahead, you kill me, because my Father in heaven will raise me up on the third day. I will go down into hell. I will grab those keys. I will conquer death and hell and the grave. On the third day, I'll rise again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Death cannot hold me down, is what Jesus Christ says. Satan always overplays his hand, and Satan works self-destructively all the time. Amen? Then it goes on here and says, so they took him, they cast him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. And therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? And it goes on about some bad things take place in their lives. But the good news for you and I is today, we have had the one called the root lay his life down for you and I, that the fruit of his spirit may live inside of us, abide in us, and come forth from us by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have James come back to the platform now, if you'd help me out, James, at the end here. And I want to say, first of all, to those who may be here today who are either unbelievers, don't know Christ as Lord and Savior perhaps, or perhaps your heart may be far from God even this morning, you have a choice this morning about the vineyard and about the vine and about the root. And that choice is, will you accept the root or reject the root? There is no other way to God, the Bible says this very clearly, except through the root, whose name is Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the bright and morning star, the Lion of Judah. He is the root that men rejected, but God embraced. And from that dry ground sprung forth the root of God, the Messiah, who brings forth salvation to all those who call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. Amen. The other choice also this morning is to believers, because believers also have two choices. Are you going to abide through the struggles of life and still bear lasting fruit? Or are you going to cast your fruit off when struggles take place in your life and lose your kindness and lose your meekness and lose your goodness and lose your self-control and say, times are just too tough. I just can't take it anymore. This fruit is just weighing me down too much. God is saying, let's choose life. Let's choose to not cast off the fruit. Let's choose to bear the fruit. As we abide in him, he makes our branches stronger. He will strengthen us. He will help us. He will sustain us. He'll bring us fruit that'll bring forth a blessing not just to us, but also those around us. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our head for a moment now this morning. Again, just to have a time to focus, a time to think, a time to ask the Holy Spirit to work inside of our lives. He's saying to us today again, will you, Father God, show me in my life about any roots that may be in me that you want to tap into that may be uncomely? They might be deadly. They might have poison or have weeds as their very foundation. The Bible says that there's some seed that was sown among the weeds, and the weeds sprung up with the good wheat and began to choke out that wheat. And the disciples said, Jesus, should we take and cut down the wheat and the weeds together to get rid of the weeds? And Jesus says back to them, no. If you cut down the wheat and weeds together, the wheat get wiped out prematurely, not bearing the fruit they're supposed to bear forth. Let them grow together and let God sort them out, which ones are weeds and which ones are wheat. What he was saying there was, we as humans are not able to see the weeds removed. Only a supernatural work of God, the angels, the Holy Spirit, can actually remove weeds from us and leave those wheat stalks untouched, undamaged, and bearing the fruit that God has for our lives. So our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. First of all, I want to ask the first group of people here today, are you a person whose heart is right with God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is your heart far from him? Is your flesh more in control than your spirits? Have you ever said, I want to follow you with all my heart, all the days of my life? If you want to receive Christ, Jesus Christ, in your life and heart today, the Bible is very clear. It says, all those who call upon my name, they shall be saved. But also the prodigals whose hearts are far from God for a season, the Bible says, I'm here with open arms. I've got a robe, I've got a ring, I've got a fattened calf to feed to you. I want to run to you, says the Lord. I don't condemn you, I don't judge you, I don't hate you. I love you, and I want to say, come back to me, my son, my daughter, because my arms are open wide to receive you and accept you unto myself again, says the Lord. If you're in that category this morning, wants to receive prayer to accept Christ for the first time or come back to God today in rededication back to him, would you raise one hand right now to God? Just do that, please, across this congregation. Just raise a hand to God if you're like that this morning. All right. I want to trust all you folks here are strong, born-again believers in Christ. May God lead all of us to people like that beyond the walls of this building who need Jesus as Lord and Savior. I want us all right now taking this. Let's all stand to our feet, please. We've got a couple of minutes left. But I want to pray now for believers. And I want to ask the Holy Spirit, and I'm asking him right now to show us what is in my heart. What root may be there planted by my fathers, generational things, adverse circumstances. I sense right now that some of you folks, I just, even during praise and worship time before that, I just began to see in my mind the word frustration. There's somebody, some people here that are going through deep frustration. You're working, you're doing your part, you're doing what God requires, you're reading the Bible, you're praising God, you attend church, you're doing, being a good, fruitful person as best you can be, but it seemed like the breakthroughs are still just not quite happening the way you think they could or should happen. It's frustration. God wants to bring forth a peace, first of all. He wants to say, I want the storm of your life to cease. Understand the disciples, when Jesus Christ in the storm stood up in the boat, they were still in the boat in the middle of the lake, okay? They were still there. The only difference was he caused the storm and the wind to stop. But then he helped them get onto dry land. And when there, the breakthrough took place. And the blessings came as 1,000 demons get cast out of a strong man called the Gadarene demoniac, and the whole city hears the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they move right on forward in the destiny and call that God has for their lives. Satan's trying to put you in a lake where there's a storm and wind blowing all the time, and that storm and wind is trying to tip your boat over and take on water and cause you to cast your fruit. Like Paul's shipwrecked friends tried to cast off all the cargo when the storm took place. If you're like that this morning, again, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there's some frustrations there in your life. Would you be honest this morning? Raise one hand to God right now. Just raise one hand to God. That's you today. Anybody else? Right across the place, I'm seeing different hands going up. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Your grace, Father. I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. One more word I'm hearing right now is the word envy. Holy Spirit, I sense us saying, we must choose to not be envious of people around us, what they do have or don't have, that we have or don't have in our lives. That envy will be like a worm, like a canker worm that will eat at the roots of your life and bring discontent, bring anger, and bring also frustrations. I'm going to ask you guys that raise your hands up to make one more step this morning. Make your way to your seats now. Come to the front here unashamedly. We're here not to judge. We're here to bless. We're here to pray. We're here to see God do a work in your life in Jesus' name. Make your way out of your seats right now, please. Come to the front. If you raise your hands up, if you even sense that envy's been a problem, come to the front right now, please. We're going to pray a prayer, not a long, long prayer. God hears this prayer. God knows these people. God loves these people. God wants the storms to stop in their lives in the name of Jesus. Can you lift your hands out or extend your hands out toward these folks right now? Let's pray for them together. The prayer partners that are here, please help me out as well. And Cheryl, help me out here as well. If you do that, please. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just work in their lives and cause these storms to cease in their lives as God can do this. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. God is good and God is working in our lives. You might have sensed some other kind of a root that God's putting his finger on today or this week. It may happen beyond this service. Let God meddle in your business. Amen. Don't ever tell God it's none of your business. Let God meddle in your roots. Get down there in the roots. Take care of those roots and get those weed roots out that the good roots might flourish in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. Praise God for his kindness and mercy is here. I'm going to, if I can, go ahead and let Linda come back to the front here again. Help us out in prayer. One of our prayer warriors, we want our prayer partners to pray for us, a prayer of dismissal. You that are staying here for the barbecue, luncheon, is there any kind of instructions for that I need to know about? You want to give some instructions on that. God bless you folks. We'll see all you back here for the burn night for worship. Amen. Wednesday night. And also remember the sign-ups for teachings and for the classes on Wednesday classes and other the turkey thing. Thanksgiving dinner. Yes.